Hello, my name is Julian Ingram. I'm a student at the University of Texas at San Antonio. And today, I'm just discuss the civil rights movement and green books, which tie very closely to each other. The civil rights movement, of course, being a very pivotal point in the United States history. For the longest time in American history, African Americans were brought to this newly discovered country in the slave trade. I mean, and then in the Civil War, the North and South fought over whether slavery should be prohibited. Ultimately, the North, which was anti-slavery, was victorious, and slavery was eventually abolished. Many African Americans who were enslaved their whole life were now citizens in the United States looking for work. These new African Americans were once promised 40 acres and a mule, but because the government understood that these free slaves did not have anything and needed a place to start, this was overturned and scrapped as a whole due to the high amount of land they received. 40 acres ended up being a lot of land. President Andrew Johnson intervened with this program and began to force the blacks who did receive the land to return it to its owners. Some blacks fought back with guns, but eventually they were taken by force. 2,000 blacks had to return their land. With the new citizens now beginning to integrate into society, the hustle began to try to get a job or other ways of acquiring currency. Well, the system that was kind of set up in America left African Americans to not prosper with just an ordinary job. The typical story that was commonly heard as an African American was they would get a job doing the same thing they did as slaves. Basically, because the managers would lend them money to buy things, they would be in debt to these managers, almost serving as the same thing as slavery was. Ever since that point, African Americans have been fighting with creative, elaborate ways to close this gap between blacks and whites. Just because African Americans were seen as citizens did not mean that fellow citizens saw them the same way. They would lynch African Americans if they were even to whistle at a white woman. With groups like the Ku Klux Klan and other openly racist people, African Americans were in a long dogfight of extensive discrimination that even extends so far that it is deeply interwoven into the justice system, putting African Americans far away from ever reaching equality with white people. Since this racism was broadcasted and etched into white people at this time, African Americans were not allowed to go anywhere freely. Places like restaurants, hotels, and gas stations were segregated. Due to the case of Plessy versus Ferguson, as long as the segregated places were equal for whites and black, it was okay. Now, when the Federal Highway Act was passed, many roadside attractions started to spring up across highways. The American dream that had been advertised was middle-class white males taking their families on vacation with a road trip. The image inspired a lot of Americans to start to pack up the stuff and get on the road. African Americans at this time were working and getting vacation time as well. Reality was that since so many places all over the United States at this time were segregated, the fate of African American travelers was unknown when taking these road trips. It was very common for African Americans to not be able to find places such as gas stations due to heavy segregation. This regularly resulted in racist white people harassing these African Americans, and some of the time, blacks were killed right on spot. With this steeply rising popularity of the American road trip, blacks were faced with a problem. If they were to go on the trip, their lives would be endangered. Then came along the Green Book. Victor Hugo Green collected information on hotels, restaurants, beauty salons, and mechanic shops that would reliably serve African Americans in New York City. African Americans now had a guide to stay safe in foreign locations or locations that they do not stay in. Green Book locations in San Antonio, for the most part, no longer exist due to the gentrification of the neighborhoods where these openly black serving establishments were once located. The Green Books grew rapidly with African American travelers. Victor Hugo Green, creator of the Green Book, was a postal worker who was also a travel agent, meaning that he was very familiar with the geography of the United States, which helped him tremendously with creating the Green Book. Eventually, the Green Book being updated every year, all 50 states were covered and ad spaces were even embedded within the Green Book. With the help of ESO, currently ExxonMobil, as a progressive corporate partner and distributor of the guides, 15,000 copies of the Green Book were sold each year. The 16-page booklet ballooned to being over 50 pages. Now, Green Books and the Civil Rights Movement connect to San Antonio in a very unique manner. In 1960, San Antonio was the first Southern city to integrate lunch counters, which of course caught national attention. In 1965, the city integrated all public accommodations. San Antonio is unique at the time due to the large amount of minorities that reside there, specifically the large amount of Hispanic people. Yet, it is still a deep Southern city. Segregation was woven into the history of San Antonio, but violence and defense of segregation was not a huge problem in the city. Blacks in the city opposed segregation, of course, but due to the moderate racial climate of San Antonio, opposition was rarely used. The NAACP called San Antonio heaven on earth. In comparison to the other Southern cities where racial tension was way higher. This mainly stemming from the fact that African American population was not very large in San Antonio, forcing white people to not believe there were enough blacks to actually have a powerful voice in the city. Blacks lived exclusively on the east side of town, so whites and blacks had little interaction. Due to the mild racial climate of San Antonio, in the Green Book, San Antonio had the most places in Texas that openly serve African Americans. The Green Books were produced every year and consistently San Antonio had absolutely most locations in Texas for every Green Book. The tension between blacks and whites in San Antonio was present, of course, but because of demographics, San Antonio was still one of the best cities to live in if you were a black male in the South. Two locations listed in the Green Books as restaurants were Cactus and Houston's. These places had a connection to the Civil Rights Movement at the time when Green Books were a necessity for colored people. It was hard for African Americans to be able to congregate and talk about inequalities they were facing because of the color of their skin. These restaurants were used as places where they could do this freely. These restaurants were two of the few that openly served African Americans in the city of San Antonio. Since at this time, San Antonio was looked at as the most liberal city in the South, it only makes sense that Texas had the most restaurants that served African Americans. Houston's was located on 318 Hedges Street, and Cactus is located on 524 East Commerce Street, which is downtown on the Riverwalk. Both of the restaurant areas appear very differently today than they did in 1947. Cactus was on East Commerce Street. It's actually now where the Riverwalk is located. The best word to describe how the area currently looks is gentrified. The area now is for tourists and has a lot of Mexican restaurants as well as just average fast food restaurants that one can find anywhere. This, of course, is much different from how Cactus previously looked. In 1947, the location of Cactus was pretty secluded and very few other businesses around the establishment. Overall, pictures show the growth of businesses in the area for sure, but the pictures also show the formerly known black businesses being extinct and unheard of by most. Houston's, on the other hand, looked far from gentrified. The land where the restaurant was and is now is by a house. The area overall looks very old and one of the poorer parts of the city. But funny enough, two blocks away from the former location of Houston's is a soul food restaurant named Mrs. Kitchen Soul Food and Bakery. The establishment, of course, serves all people, but of course, the regular customers they receive tend to be African Americans. The neighborhood closest to the formal spot of Houston's is also definitely a primarily African American part of the city. Both of the buildings had no type of commemoration at all saying what the land was formerly used for. Urban renewal plans tend to happen across, you know, bigger American cities, and this also transpired in San Antonio as well. Agendas that include eradicating distressed environments and neighborhood conditions, increasing workforce and housing opportunities, and preserving the affordabilities of neighborhoods were a reason for these. These urban renewal plans have $20 million backing up the whole program. Due to this plan, a great part of the city has been reconstructed, and this sort of ties in with the two areas that have been covered. Funny enough, one of the places is now housing in a semi-affordable neighborhood, while the other location is now an art piece in the area where tourists come around. The art looks like, it's kind of like these two very loosely drawn kind of red like buildings kind of lines, but they're very squiggly and they kind of intertwine with each other. Not too much, kind of open, but it's very, very tall and, they just kind of intertwine and they're very just loose. Overall, the Green Book's location of San Antonio serve as a cornerstone to the civil rights movement. The long, treacherous journey of African Americans coming to a point where they are seen as equal to Americans has brought us to a point where there are not that many black-owned businesses in major cities. Through times like the 40s, the restaurants that served African Americans served as a safe haven where blacks could be themselves and not be paranoid that racism was going to hit them at any time. These black-owned businesses, to an extent, gave black people peace that they had somewhere to go. San Antonio as a city at the time was already, at this time, not having super high racial tensions in the city, which is very similar to how it is now. Because of the low racial tension, out of many cities in Texas, San Antonio had the most locations in the Green Book. The city, for the most part, had the most businesses that were willingly to openly publish in the book that were openly that were open to serving African Americans. These establishments mentioned in the Green Books did not last until now, but the fact that African Americans in that time had places where they could go to get their basic needs met, while also providing a place where blacks could congregate and discuss the injustices put upon them, laid down the foundation of today, where everybody is allowed in every restaurant and will be served regardless of their race.